and he had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with a glad and generous heart, praising God and having the goodwill of all the people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Would you please join me in the prayer? Dear Lord, we thank you so much for the privilege to be called as your servant, as your people, and also as your friends, Lord. Please, Lord, we are here to listen to your voice. Help us to have a humble mind, to discern your will in our life as we listen to your word, Lord. And we prayed all this in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Starting today until the first Sunday of August, Midland First will have a time to think about our identity as a Church of Jesus Christ. The new sermon series is titled, Church Is. Let me just mention the sermon titles from our pastors. Church is the fellowship of believers. A church is a place to call home. Church is the body of Christ. Church is a place to gather around the table. Today, I will cover our first topic, fellowship. Church is the fellowship of believers. I believe that there are two essential problems that all human beings face across cultures and generations. The first one is the matter of sin. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. And the fallen state of a human being was the motivation of John Wesley's ministry. He was always burdened about the state of the world, saturated with the sin. So wherever he went, whenever he had the opportunity to preach, he never failed to mention about sin. He repeatedly stressed the urgent need for salvation of all human beings. As a church, we are not supposed to forget that all the human calamities are rooted from our sins. The other problem is the matter of loneliness. We live in the day of self-made individualist. Self-centered individualism is considered an essential right of being a person. It is not surprising, therefore, that we view people and society as things to be used for our individual growth and satisfaction. Daniel Yankelevich, a renowned psychologist from Harvard, is researching American society, found that a me first, satisfy all my desires attitude leads to relationships that are superficial, transitory, and ultimately unsatisfying. One of his surveys showed that 70% of Americans now recognize that while they have many acquaintances, they only have a few close friends. And they experience this as a serious void in their lives. Moreover, 2 out of 5 people state they have fewer close friends than they did in the recent past. I believe this can be an echo of the need for community that God put within the heart of those who were created in His image. Even though we are surrounded by many people, we can suffer from loneliness. During my vacation, I had many opportunities to join Sunday worship services in other churches with my family. Last Sunday, I attended a worship service in a big church in a mid-sized town, and I was surprised to see that no one came to my family to know who we are before the service and after the service. the church seems to be a mission-oriented church. They advertised a lot of mission work during summer, but there was no one who came to my family and asked if we were visitors. Even though we can be surrounded by a lot of people, it is not that difficult to be lonely. Scott Peck states the reality with which we are faced. There is a point beyond which our sense of self-determination not only becomes inaccurate and prideful, but increasingly self-defeating. We are inevitably social creatures who desperately need each other, not merely for sustenance, not merely for company, but for any meaning to our lives whatsoever. God knows our problems very well. That is why God sent His only Son, Jesus Christ, to us. The problem of our sin was taken care of on the cross, and as we confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, when the Spirit of Jesus was sent to his disciples after His ascension, they formed a new community of faith. This new community is the answer to the problems of our loneliness as well as our sin. The fellowship of Christians is the solution to human loneliness and a clear evidence of a life freed from the bondage of sin. As we are in genuine relationship with one another, we become a vivid picture of a new life to be presented to the world as it restores power and embraces the love of God. Our fellowship itself is an invitation card for the people caught in the bondage of the sin and loneliness to join God's community. Romans 8:19, the whole creation waits breathless with anticipation for the revelation of God's sons and daughters. We are called to do this mission work. Our identity as a called God's people, in essence, is missional. Because out there, the world is waiting for God's children, God's sons and daughters. As we ponder the meaning of the church and our identity as the fellowship of believers, we should ask ourselves these questions. What is fellowship? Not the fellowship in a secular sense, but a biblical and Christian traditional sense. How about our fellowship? Is our fellowship healthy? Is there something missing or too much of something in our fellowship? Do we see the people who are outside of our fellowship show interest in our fellowship? Do we find Jesus Christ continually in our fellowship? Finally, do I personally need to have a Christian fellowship? In today's scripture, we can find the first example of a Christian fellowship. Let us remember that the new faith community was saturated with the power of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God was clearly revealed in and through the lives of this new community. Let us also remember that the community of the Holy Spirit is the community of fellowship, because God Himself exists as a fellowship of Trinity. And the work of God reveals the fellowship of God into the church, and through the church into the world. The people who received Apostle Peter's message were baptized into the community. About 3,000 new people joined the church. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Together, they experienced the signs and wonders performed by the apostles. Together, they should sell their possessions and distribute the proceeds to the people in need. Together, they worshiped God in the temple day by day. Together, at home, they broke bread ate their food with a glad and generous heart, praising God. We are all invited to join this kind of fellowship at our church. We are the church of togetherness. We're the church of fellowship. We are all called to share our lives together. We are called to rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep. To do that, we need to listen to the stories of our church members. We are called to live in harmony with one another. Let us read together Acts 2:47 in New Living Translation. The whole city was favorable to them, and each day God added to them all who were being saved. When the people in the world find real fellowship among the Christians, they are attracted to the church. When the Christian community is ready to show genuine fellowship, God will send people who are hungry for what we can provide, the love of Christ. We are not supposed to complain about the unfavorable culture in the world. The world has been like that since the fall of Adam and Eve. That is why God calls us to the world as our mission field. The real issue that we have to deal with is not out there in the world, but that is in us, of us. It is about how we are faithful to our identity as the church of fellowship. Then what is the fellowship? As we know, the Greek word for fellowship is koinonia. But the word koinonia has much different meaning than fellowship. Koinonia basically means giving and receiving. It denotes a two-sided relationship. If we are in Christian koinonia, we are to share our love and care with those in need. And also, we are to receive our brothers and sisters' love and care when we are in need. It has to be two ways. That is why koinonia can be translated as participation together. We, as a Christian community, participate in the lives of our fellow Christians. Therefore, we can define koinonia as fellowship of love by participating in the lives of a Christian together. Fellowship of love by participating in the lives of Christians together. Scott Barch, a New Testament theologian at UCLA, commented on the Jerusalem church in Acts 2:42 through 47. He said, they developed loyalty and trust among themselves. They opened their homes to all within the extended kin group. The need of everyone in the community were met. They had a sense of a shared destiny. As we participate in one another, sharing what we have, giving and receiving the tangible and the intangible, and also sharing our life stories together, we can have a sense of a shared destiny together. How can we be unified? How can we be on the same page in pursuing the work of God? If we have a genuine fellowship at our church, then we can have a shared destiny. We can find unity in us. If we carefully read Apostle Paul's epistles to his founding churches, we can find that they regularly met together in each other's home. The Christian community had to separate themselves from the synagogue in the 80s due to the continual persecution of the Jews. So they had to have meetings in their homes. They worshiped God, studied the teachings of the apostles, and had a fellowship together, eating their food and doing communion together. In Apostle Paul's days, the house church was the typical model of a church. 1 Corinthians 16:19, the churches of Asia send you greetings, Aquila and Prisca, together with the church in their house, send you hearty greetings in the Lord. Colossians 4:15, give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. The oldest Christian house church was excavated in Dura Europos in modern Syria in the 1930s. The house was converted for use as a Christian church at some point between 240 AD and 250 AD in the 3rd century. The space could hold 50 to 60 Christian worshipers. They have their own worship room, and also they have their own fellowship room. And there was a bathtub found, and that was used for the baptism. The walls throughout this church were extensively painted through, though unfortunately most of the images no longer survive. We do know that the wall paintings depicted the images relating to original sin, the rite of baptism, and salvation, which means the house church there was a new convert-oriented, mission-oriented church. John Wesley was a great organizer. He developed different kinds of small group ministries according to the needs of his church members. Many churches across denominations all over the world, as well as in the United States, still follow his models of small group ministries. Class meeting, band meeting, select society, and penitent society are the examples. The first one is the class meeting. John Wesley's class meeting started in New Room, the oldest chapel in the world, Bristol, Britain, in 1742. New Room was not a usual chapel. It was a seminary for lay leaders, an inn for circuit preachers, a clinic, and a workhouse for the poor. When New Room was built, John Wesley had to borrow some money, but he couldn't pay off the money. So he called a meeting of lay leaders in Bristol, and he asked, "How shall we pay the debt upon the preaching house?" Captain Foy gave the following answer: "Let everyone in the society," which means a church, "give a penny a week, and it will easily be done." And one said, "But many of them have not a penny to give." "True," replied the chaplain, the captain. "Then put 10 or 12 of them to me. Let each of these give what they can weekly, and I will supply what is wanting." Many leaders were moved by his comment, and his offer was accepted. When the leaders began their weekly rounds to collect the contributions, they soon discovered the problems of their members: domestic dispute, drunkenness, gambling, and health issues. The weekly rounds were inconvenient because many Methodists lived as servants in houses where the master or mistress would not permit visitors. Even where such visits were allowed, they were unable to talk in private. This led to the next development in the evolution of classes. Instead of the leader visiting the members, a weekly meeting was set up for prayer, Bible study, mutual confession, and support. And the twofold dynamic of the class meeting emerged: watching over one another in love and holding one another mutually accountable. If anyone wanted to belong to a Methodist society, they were required to join a class meeting. Since that time on, the class meeting has become a model for life-sharing and caring small group ministries. Band meetings were divided into single-gender groups and according to marital status. Each band had 5 to 10 persons. They met once and sometimes twice a week for singing, prayer, and spiritual conversation. Every first Sunday was observed as a day of general intercession. Following the intercession, they joined together a general love feast. From 7 until 10 in the evening, they made a covenant together for this small group. And the covenant started with this sentence: "The design of our meeting is to obey that command of God. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed." Also, there were 4 questions that he asked at every meeting. It follows as, "What known sins have you committed since our last meeting? What temptations have you met with? How were you delivered? What have you thought, said, or done of which you doubt whether it be sin or not? Do you think you can do this? Okay. What about sharing our sin you committed last week with the person sitting right next to you? Can you do that right now?" At that time, if we are Methodist, we were to honestly share our lives with our God and also with our brothers and sisters. Select society. The people in the select society were the leaders of the leaders. They were the core leadership group in Wesley's ministry. The leaders of band meetings and class meetings and also local preachers were the members of this select society. They were the most committed leaders seeking for Christian perfection and fellowship. In this small group, John Wesley, candidly shared his emotions, sometimes frustration about his ministry. Sometimes he shared his ministry plans with them. He himself was encouraged by these core leaders and received advice from them. John Wesley himself needed to find a place where he could share his life and receive love and care. He knew the importance of a small group ministry even for himself. That is the same with the pastors nowadays. We need a small group that we can share our life and also we can receive and support the love from their small group ministries. Penitent society. Last but not least, is the penitent society. If there were people who were falling away from their spiritual life, they were sent to the penitent society. Every Sunday night, they got together to review their life and to confess their sins to one another. Wesley could observe that many were revived again by the penitent society. Do you think that kind of small groups are possible nowadays in the context of American culture? When I went to seminary, I was invited by a Baptist student to join a small group of 8 people. 4 couples of seminary students on Saturday mornings. Denominationally, it was somewhat diverse. 2 couples, including my wife and me, were from United Methodist Church. 1 couple was from Presbyterian Church, and the leading couple was from Baptist Church. When we got together, each family brought a dish and shared the food together. After that, we had a time of worship. The leading Baptist brother was a great worship leader. We could feel the presence of God in our meetings. Then we came to our most intimate time to share our lives together. In the beginning, it was not easy to open my heart. But when I continually felt the presence of God in our meetings and came to trust our members, I could open my heart to my brothers and sisters. There was a time I had a big argument with my wife right before the small group meetings. My wife and I didn't want to go to the meeting for fear of sharing our problem in the small group. I repeatedly said to myself, I'm not going to share my fight in the small group. I also asked my wife not to share our problem with the brothers and sisters in the small group. But things happened unexpectedly. In the sharing time, the other Methodist wife shared that she had a fight with her husband right before joining the small group meeting on the same day. And she started to cry. I said to myself, oh no, my wife cannot share her story. My wife is not going to share her story. Lord, help my wife. But God didn't answer my prayer. My wife too shared her problem with me and with other small group members with tears in her eyes. On the morning, those two Methodist women played an important role to open other couples' hearts to share their lives honestly. All the people in the small group on that morning shed tears together, and all had time to pray for each other. That was the turning point of the small group. Our intimacy level had been raised, and all felt that we were real family. We were really concerned about one another and held one another accountable. The Baptist small group little couple tried their best to follow up the sharing of other members in the following week. From time to time, they called us and sometimes invited us for personal lunch or dinner. They were phenomenal leaders. The small group I experienced in my seminary days was a church of a strong fellowship, sharing our lives together and caring for each other. God knows us very well, and God knows our needs. That is why after the Holy Spirit came down upon the people in Jerusalem, they were led to build up a strong fellowship church. God loves the world so much so that God gave his only begotten Son to the world, and also he gave to the world his church, the fellowship of believers. Our needs, any kinds, can be met in the genuine small group fellowship. We have a lot of small groups at our church, and also we have a lot of different kinds of ministry committees at our church. Think about the fellowship you have in your small group and also in your committee. Did you ever have a time to share your story with the people in the small group, in the committee you are serving together? Just try to listen to their stories and pray for each other and invite them to your home and eat together and try to get to know more about them. And also have a prayer time with them. I know, I've heard that in our church, we used to have a Wesley Covenant group once a week, reporting as individuals, holding each other accountable and sharing food together. I understand that not a few members of our church miss the Wesley Covenant group. Maybe we can have that Wesley Covenant group again. I just heard it from Reverend Keywords that MFY, Methodist Youth Fellowship, they have a 50th anniversary reunion today in the second service. Do we have anyone who are joining this service? 50th anniversary of MFY? No one's here? Okay. And they were started with the small groups at the church. And they are still remembering that time of intimacy and sharing their lives together, eating together. I know we are living in a world saturated with the news of all kinds of difficult stuff in the world. But I think we need to be more patient to the stories of our brothers and sisters at the church. Before speaking about the things happening in the world, yes, we are called to take care of the world, but we need to start from our church to listen to our brothers and sisters' suffering and joy and their celebrations. We need a genuine Christian fellowship. We need to talk about our lives to our brothers and sisters. We need to give and take care and love from one another. Let us ask God that we can have spirit-anointed small groups at our church so that we can grow together and continually invite to your small groups those who need our love and care. If we are ready and able to provide a genuine fellowship, God will send to us more people to love and care for. Will you pray with me? Dear God, we thank you so much for calling us as your church of fellowship. Let us continually experience the power of the Holy Spirit as we share our lives and care for one another together. Help us to continually find our destiny together as we are seeking for the genuine community of fellowship. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.